Good afternoon and welcome to the Hour of Truth. I have Phil Walthall here on the right and James Uthler on the left, way out on the left, out of sight out on the left.
About 3 to 4 hours driving time.
James is an outstanding guy. He's outstanding in the cornfield, as a matter of fact. Yes. Another shoddy attempt at humor. I'm your humble host, Paul Muller, and
what'd you just say?
Never mind. I was hoping nobody would catch that. We're banging around some thoughts here.
Scary
show, and an interesting concept. Hi, Arizona Uselers, back at you, right back at you. We're sitting there talking about the concept that Steve was talking about adding Jesus to your life. You know, it's just what I need. A little, if I add just a little bit of religious-looking stuff here to my life, then that's all I really need right now. I'm hitting on all cylinders and feeling pretty good about myself. Now's a good time to add a little Jesus. It's like adding a little garlic to that sauce. Doesn't work that way. Right?
Right. And, you know, I mean, it's a praise the Lord that how the Lord had set up the church and how he has set, you know, disciples in the church, because I'm not a great judge of really how I am doing at all. I'm not a great judge of that at all. You know, so I praise the Lord that I got disciples and people over me to guide me and direct me in one way or the other. Because look, I'm quite frankly, my carnal mind can deceive myself into thinking I'm doing just fantastic. And truth be way off the mark. And be way off the mark. And, you know, praise the Lord for that. do you have some experience in that, James? It sounds like, I believe we all have, quite frankly.
It's called the art of self-deception. And some of us are really good at it. Of course, some other people might call it strong delusion.
Yeah.
We're good at it. You can't hear James.
Oh, that's a bummer, man.
Let me see what I can do about that.
Apparently they can hear me.
There you go.
And I can hear you too, so praise God.
We were talking about field of vision. You want the general to be able to survey the whole field, or whoever the commander is. And you trust that they're sending you into a battle with all you can have on you, at your disposal to win, defeat the enemy. And, you know, I was constantly always having my attention redirected, because the shiny thing that was having my attention was never the thing that I should have been paying attention to. And everybody's like that. You know, sometimes we're more easily distracted than others. But, you know, I was talking with someone, and this concept is a truth that, because we'll do a thing and then sweat the details for several days, wondering if, you know, do we do the right thing or do we do the wrong thing. And you can actually get yourself, immobilize yourself doing that kind of thing.
Care how many buses you own, the size of your sanctuary, It doesn't matter how steep your steeple is, if it's sitting on a cemetery. I don't care if you pave your parking lot or put pads upon your pews. What good is a picture perfect stage if you're missing all the cues? I don't care if your pastor's superpowered and your program's always new. What you need is love and truth, and men are gonna come to you. It doesn't matter that you know the Bible if it's all just in your head. The thing I need to ask you is, have you done the things I said? Do you love your wife? For her and for your children, are you laying down your life? What about the others? Are you living as a servant to your sisters and your brothers? Do you make the poor man beg you for a bone? Do the widow and the orphan cry alone? I don't care if you pray for miracles. I don't care if you speak with tongues. I don't care if you've said you love me in every song you've sung. It doesn't matter that your sacrifice of praise is loud enough to raise the dead. The thing I need to ask you is, have you done the things I said? Do you love your wife? For her and for your children, are you laying down your life? What about the others? Are you living as a servant to your sisters and your brothers? Do you make the poor man beg you for a bone? Do the widow and the orphan cry alone? Lord, when will you, prisoner, that we did not come to you? When was it that we saw you sick, that we didn't follow through? Every time you turned your head and pretended not to see, when you did it not to the least of these, you did it not to me. Do you love your wife? With all you've got inside you, are you laying down your life? What about the others? Are you living as a servant to your sisters and your brothers? Do you make the poor man beg you for a bone? To the widow and the orphan cry alone?
We were chatting about the concept that, amongst other things, that, you know, when you turn your life over to the Lord, it's His. He owns it. His to do with what He wants to. And that Don Francisco's song there, you know, is, it's like right out of Matthew 7, 21 through 24. It's like, I don't, you say you've done this, you say you've done that, I don't care about all that. I want to know, are you doing what I said to do? And you, what, that stuff that you say you're doing, you're doing that to glorify yourself, to get the praise of men. You're not doing that to serve me and to honor me and to please me. All I told you to do is love God and love one another. And you, to quote another, you know, balladeer, to quote Keith Green, you did what you do because you love the world and you're avoiding me. And it is his life to do with as he pleased. Now, working that out in your life is going to sound a lot like Jesus saying, pick up your cross and follow me. Pick up your cross and follow me. Turn away, not preferring brothers, fathers, sisters, mother. You lay down your life. You put on his. Comments?
Well, it goes back to, you don't add Jesus into your life. It's either Jesus or your life.
Yeah, one or the other.
There's no mix.
I don't remember if we were talking about... Did we talk about the weight thing while we were doing the show, or was that before the show?
That was before.
Okay. Cares in Matthew 13. You sow the seed and one falls among the rocks, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke it out because it has no good root. Did I quote that one right? Sort of close to being right? The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. These cares and the weight that does so easily weigh us down. The sin that so easily besets us. You know, the default position that we have that seeks to justify ourselves in error. The walking out of that state of seeking to lay down our lives and follow after him in his place, in place of him. You know, if you had it ever before your face, somebody reminding you all the time that what you're doing in Jesus' place, then you ought to know Jesus and what he would do in that place. That would change the way some of us behave. You got something there?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what laying down your life is, right, to do his thing. I mean, what do you do when you... When you go about your day, do you just go in about your day, just doing your own thing? Are you seeking his face in the situations that are at hand throughout the day? I know that a great tool that was given to me years ago, I know I've said it before, you've heard me say it many times, was I remember Ricky years ago telling me to pray over, at that time I was working in the cabinet shop, but pray over the cabinets and these types of things, you know, before they go out. And I would start doing that. And then I would start doing, and I do that with the cars now where I work at. You know, it's one thing when you get up before and get up, you know, in the morning and you give your life unto the Lord. But it's easy to get distracted. The sin that so what easily besets us. And one of the greatest tools was just praying on those cards. It's a constant communication with the Lord. And that's helpful when you have that in mind, because ultimately you're about the Lord's business, not your own. And then so when you go and you interact with people out there and with your employees and the customers or whatever the case may be at that time, you're seeking it with what the Lord would have you do in those situations.
Yeah, you know, the whole thing is, you know, we easily distracted and we forget that we're supposed to be doing the same thing Jesus did in his place. And you know, I'm sitting here thinking to myself, I wonder how many of our prayers are prayers in place of Jesus. We put the tag on in Jesus' name, which literally means in place of Him. It's supposed to be you making the prayer as if Jesus were sitting here doing it Himself, right? I don't know how many people's prayers sound like that.
Or the other way around is how much is our prayer is, Lord, what can I do for you? How would you have me operate? Yeah. Or is it, Lord, give me, me?
Yeah.
Or is it, Lord, what is it that I can do for you? I am your servant.
Jesus' prayers were like, Father, I thank thee that thou hast given me thee. And I'm praying this not because I don't know that it isn't already done. I'm praying this for the benefit of the people around here, that they may know that you are who you say you are, that they may believe. And that otherwise, they don't have a chance to believe. If I don't show them what they need to see, they don't have a chance. That's how Jesus operated.
Amen.
And, you know, I don't know too many people that pray like that.
Yeah, you remember Moses? Kind of reminds me of I remember Moses went to the mountain. I remember a men's Bible study years ago. Gosh, it was back in the trailer. And what just came to mind is when you're coming from the place of Lord, I'm your servant. It's by your rules. I remember we're doing that. That one Bible study had Moses, and what the Lord said was, look, take off, and he showed himself into the bush, and he said, look, take off your feet. Take off the sandals off your feet, because where did I stand is holy ground. And what, I remember Davey bringing out that point, look, that was a sign of submission. That was a sign of, by my rules, by my way, you're gonna go forward. That's right. And you go, and that's the attitude we need to have towards the Lord. Lord, not my will be done, but yours. Whatever it is. And the Lord's going to meet you there. He'll meet you there. If you're serious about it. If that's really what you're about. And if that's not what you're about, then Lord, I mean, you lift that up unto the Lord.
Yeah.
Lord, create in me a clean heart. Lord, my motives aren't right. My ways aren't right. My heart's not right. Lord, I lift my heart up unto thee. You know what I mean? You bring that to the Lord. Lord, I want this change. I don't want this anymore. I don't want this garbage anymore.
You know, if you're going to make that prayer, one thing, when Jesus said that, Jesus had going for him was, he knew the will of the Father. He says, not my will, but thine be done. You know, if it be possible, let the cup pass from me, then, you know, that'd be sweet. But, thy will be done. He knew what the Father's will was. And I know that in some cases, if we know or suspect what the Father's will is and are asking contrary to us, we don't actually really have the attitude walking away from it that Jesus had, which was he gave testimony to, not Father, not my will, but thine, was a commitment, a choice he made to please the Father. The question is, are we committed to that? Or are we committed to the outcome that we're asking for? And if you're committed to please the Father, if you're committed to please Jesus Christ, if you're committed to His life and not yours, then the answer is yes. But if it's anything short of that, you're not in a good place.
Well, it'll be known to you.
Yeah.
It'll be known to you.
That's right.
And then, and when it is known to you, that's what...
that's your only chance getting right.
When it's known to you, you make that choice contrary to where you've been. I mean, that's what, that's what you call repentance, right? Repent means change your mind.
Yeah, you acknowledge that you're wrong.
And change what you do about it.
Absolutely. I mean, there's going to be a turnaround in action is what's going to happen.
That's right.
You know, Steve said something in the service where, you know, Brother Davey doesn't do a lot of altar calls because people come up and for the same week, or, you know, the same thing week after week.
Right.
It's not a good testimony for us. Because we acknowledge we have the problem, but we're not laying it and giving it to the Lord.
You know, and that's the thing. I mean, the Lord does not want you. I mean, what does he say? My yoke is easy, my burden is light. The Lord does not want you to be entangled in these things. You know, he wants to set us free. But we got to give it to him to be set free and believe him to be set free. And that's something that we make a choice to do.
Yeah, they sang that song in Vermont, Cast All Your Cares Upon Him. We need to just let it go.
Amen.
It's like we're digging up the old cat.
Right.
Carrying that weight unnecessarily. It wears you out, makes you
all
weary.
That baggage you were talking about. Yep.
Yeah. Makes you weary.
You know, and that's... And, you know, we were talking about our own self-deception and these kinds of things. Our carnal mind thinks that, oh, man, hanging on to the... I mean, we're going to be... I mean, we let go of these things, we're just done. But no, it's actually freeing. It's freeing. And those things want to kill you, not save you. Jesus wants to save you.
The enemy. And what comes to kill, steal, and destroy. I mean, it doesn't matter how he sells it or how he packages it. That's what he's trying to do.
That's right.
That is the testimony of Scripture. That's what Jesus said. So, you know, it's, his testimony is true.
The other thing is our carnal man brings doubt into our minds. And that's why it's so important to lift the things up to the Lord and bring them to your discipler, because we will fool ourselves, or as you said, strong delusion, Paul. I don't think people heard that conversation. That's when they couldn't hear us, but.
Couldn't hear you. Is that what we were talking about then? Like I said, I don't remember where we were before the show or after the show, or after the show started.
That was when they couldn't hear me.
Well, then, see, you didn't say anything we're hearing anyhow, right?
And it reminds me of Romans. I mean,
I'm teasing.
And now that we're dead to sin, shall we live there any longer therein? Because that old carnal mind, I mean, what does Paul say? I die daily. Remember our baptism, man. We die to that old man. We don't have to live unto him no more.
Yeah, well, that dead cat is, and there's no better cat than dead. We shouldn't be picking him up and playing with him. Well, I'm not really sure what Davey's referring to there. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I'm hoping for the best. I don't remember. So, there's one other thing we were talking about before the program, and I'm trying to remember what it was. I am in mental molasses at the moment. Do either one of you remember what the other thing was?
No.
It wasn't about the baggage. We kind of hit on that a little bit. carrying around the 80-pound backpack.
Yes. Well, that was, I thought you said that's what we were talking about when they couldn't hear you.
We did start bringing that up, but we had spoke about it before the service.
Well, that does, not only is it just uncomfortable to be carrying that 80-pound backpack full of cares of this world around, it is, it weakens you, makes you weary, and will eventually just cause you to stagnate, to stop moving altogether.
The other thing too, Paul,
why keep it? Yes, go ahead.
Is if you're carrying around that 80-pound backpack, and I think you said, you know, you strap weights on your legs, you don't get far before you're tired out.
Yep.
And you start to see that it's easier to turn around and go back than it is to go forward.
Or you can simply...
closer to the back than you are to the prize, say.
And what we ought to be doing is taking those things off.
Yeah,
and that's what the gospel, right, and that's what the gospel's for. That's what Jesus is for. That's what he set us free from.
All right, well, what the world trains us to do with that, though, is the world trains us to, enjoy the burn, enjoy feeling all wasted, enjoy not being able to move.
Well, they just give you a pill now for it.
Yeah. Make the best of it. We'll put you on this maintenance medicine. You know, you're not going to get any better, but we're going to get better. We're selling you this medicine. And it's highly profitable for us. So,
and plus, you know, then others don't have to deal with you. See, look, it's a win-win for them.
Yeah.
Oh, forget just getting to the root of the issue and being set free. That's just too much to ask for. Because you can't get set free by the world's ways. You can't get set free by the doctor's ways. You can't get set free by any other way than Jesus. So when you don't want to acknowledge Jesus, you're just in a whole world of hurt.
That's one of the ways we add Jesus to, you know, our lives. We add Jesus to, you know, the medical practice and the counselor practice and, use it to justify all the ungodly things that we pursue and all the time we waste on ourselves. And it becomes, again, a thing that rather than seeing our error in, we delude ourselves about.
And, well, it also justifies us.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, in that part, I believe it's what in Thessalonians, that actually the word, when I'm looking at strong delusion.
Yeah.
And then the God will send them strong delusion because what they rejected the truth. I need to look it up, actually. And I'll start looking it up now. But if we go and look in there, it's an interesting thing what it says.
Somebody should, we need somebody to start seeing something when we're looking stuff up.
I think, James just dropped there.
Yeah, I'm hearing that. It is.
It's in
211.
Right. It says, and for this God shall, gosh, I wouldn't even know where to start with this one. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. You know, why did they get strong delusion to believe a lie? Because they because they believe not the truth. They didn't grab hold of it. They didn't grab fast for to it.
That's right.
And when the truth was delivered, they rejected instead of took it and went forward and became free in it.
Take hold of that truth. You can avoid that delusion.
Amen. Absolutely.
Take hold of that truth. Let the darkness set you free.
Amen.
As Jesus said in John 8, when the Son shall set free, he is free
indeed.
Of course, that ticked off the Pharisees, but, you know, everything he did at that point was ticking them off pretty good. Wherefore, seeing we also compassed about us with so great a cloud of witnesses, in Hebrews 12:1, the witnesses, the testimony of which is in 11. Let us lay aside every weight. Let's lay aside every weight. How much weight should we be laying aside?
Every side. Davey can't hear you.
Okay, they can hear me. Lay aside every weight. The sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The, you know, it doesn't say, look to justify yourself because of the sin that, or look, to let the sin bog us down and, make us fearful of moving and, make us guilty before the Lord. It says, lay it aside. Lay it aside. Don't let it. It does not have dominion over you anymore. You can choose to put it back, put it down, put it out, put it, take, lay it aside, lay it aside. Don't let it bog you down. Yes, you're a sinner. Yes, all those accusations have been true. Yes, now we don't have to listen to them anymore. Don't have to do that anymore. So, that's the good news, the gospel. But, you know, it is also true that the terms of that arrangement are, you turn your life over to him, it's his now. It's his. And Paul says in probably Ephesians and Colossians, you know, that, you know, whatsoever you do, do is unto the Lord. Do it like he's right here. And where is it in Colossians? Colossians says, the Lord is at hand. He's at hand. He's right here. He hasn't gone anywhere.
So whatsoever you do heartily as unto the Lord.
As unto the Lord. You do it as if he's right here next to you.
And that actually reminds me of what I was thinking about when it was going about, when I was talking about going about our day, interacting with people. And serving your boss, loving your wives, your brothers and sisters, serving them, doing it heartily as unto the Lord. You know, that's preaching the gospel and sometimes using words, but about going and do that, you're lifting these things up unto the Lord all the time. You're lifting up your relationships unto the Lord with the people that you work with. You're lifting up your relationships with the customers, the people you're dealing with. You're lifting up your relationship with your boss, with your disciples, with your brothers and sisters in the Lord, your wife, your kids. Because you all want it to be directed by him. Not yourself. You know, when we take our life into our own hands and we take direction of ourselves, man, what a mess. What a mess is what I find. It creates.
Well, you know, it is part. As you surrender your will to His, and you stop letting that stuff drag you down. Stop letting the flesh that's in league with the enemy, the carnal mind that agrees with the enemy, stop agreeing with it. Stop letting it tank you.
Amen. Remember what Davy said about that? You want to kill a thing? Starve a thing. You know, and it kind of goes back to me. You don't give it no place. Flesh wants to go do one thing, see what the Lord would have you do. Flesh wants to go one thing, see what Spirit wants you to do. See what the Lord would have you do. Flesh wants to do one thing, do what the Lord tells you to do in Scripture.
Amen.
And we have a direction, a very simple direction. We go to the Colossians, we go to Philippians, we go to Ephesians. It has outlines where Paul tells us how we ought to deal with one another.
Yeah.
And what the love of Christ is. Kind of hit about it on a little bit this morning in service. And you know, that's part of walking that thing out. And if you love Him, it says, you know, keep His commandments. Then you will be doing just that if you love the Lord. You find yourself not doing that, you know that you're loving yourself. pretty, you know, you take a look at those things and go, okay, let's, you know, what have I been doing?
Stroking that dead
cat. Yeah, I mean, what have I been doing?
So, the next verse, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That was the race that was before Him, you know, and He, you know, that despising the shame, the shame was He was crucified as a criminal. Like He was guilty of something. And He was not guilty. Even, you know, the other thief on the cross next to Him came to see that. He said, listen,
and when I look at that, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, I'm looking at the one who has completed the work. The one that was the perfect example.
That is the sense in which He's the finisher of our faith.
Amen.
He's done. He's sitting right next to the Father.
That's right.
Right hand of the throne. He's sitting there. It's over. He's finished. He's completed the work. It's finished. That may still be working out in you, but it's finished. And just like He said. He says, it's finished on the cross.
That's right. And then He goes, that still might be working out in you. What does it say in Philippians, I believe? And it kind of reminds me of the scripture where He says in Philippians, where it says, the one that is able... The one that is
able... to do with His good pleasure.
That too, but I believe it's a different one, and I'll look for it for the time being. But having faith that He will finish that work in us.
That He started.
Yep. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I can think of the Timothy that's in.
Well, that might have been Timothy. And then Philippians 1:6 is what's typed in the chat. And remember when Davey was talking about in service, how he's, look, God has not called you to what? Fail?
Yeah.
That's not His purpose. That's not what He wants. He's called you to success. And not worldly success, but to succeed in Him. Let's see.
Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I was thinking about 1 Timothy, but yeah, that one's...
That's the one I was thinking of. So. Thank you. That's what it reminds me.
Yeah.
And we do that by believing God. You know, we can look at the... remember, had a service not too long ago about how to love God and love one another.
All right, I was thinking.
Go ahead. I see you got it open now.
I was thinking about 1 Timothy 1:12, for which cause I also suffer. I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. He's able to keep it safe and deliver it spotless. That's the goodness of our God.
Amen.
Well, praise God. I did not even have a clue that I was going to find that, but I did. So, James, are you back with us?
I am. I didn't know if I was the humming noise, so I had muted my mic.
Yeah, you probably... That's how you are, you know. Well, if I could find the virtual audio cable. Yeah. Yeah, that's a terrible hum. That's an awesome promise. And, one that is good enough and powerful enough and refreshing enough.
And I'm looking at it as Jesus won the war, and now we have our own battles. And if we stand in Him, we're gonna go all the way, that work is gonna be completed. It's gonna be finished through.
We committed our lives unto Him, and He is gonna deliver.
Amen.
He is gonna deliver. And that's just the great news of the gospel.
Amen. I'm called to believe. All we gotta do is choose to believe Him in all things.
I think that's a wrap. Say goodbye, boys.
Goodbye, boys.
Goodbye, everybody.
I should say goodbye, gentlemen. Brother Phil and Brother James. Y'all have a real good week and a great rest of this Sunday. The Texas service is coming up at the top of the hour. And, Lord, we thank you for Sue and the others in the chat room who've helped us along all these many months, looking up scriptures for us and helping us minister. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you, and we'll see y'all next week.